Welcome to the Expert's Secrets to Diabetes Reversal. I am so glad you have decided to join us today. And I am very excited to have Dr. Joel Furman with us as our expert today. Thank you for coming to be with us, Dr. Furman.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Well, I'd like all of you to get to know Dr. Furman a little bit better here as we get started. And I know he's a very familiar name to many of you, but for those of you who may not have met him before, he is a board certified family physician, 7 times New York best-selling author, and internationally recognized expert on nutrition and natural healing. He specializes in preventing and reversing disease through nutritional methods. He's the one that coined the term nutritarian to describe a nutrient-dense eating style designed to prevent cancer, slow aging, and extend lifespan. Do you know that Dr. Furman's been working with this for over 30 years, and he has shown that it is possible to achieve sustainable weight loss and reverse heart disease, diabetes, and many other illnesses using smart nutrition. He operates the Eat to Live Retreat in San Diego, and you might not know this about him, but he's a native of Yonkers and a former world-class figure skater who actually placed second in the United States National Pairs Championships in 1973 and has won other awards and medals in that area as well. He's a well-known author. His latest book is Eat for Life, and we'll be talking about some of these things as we go through our interview today. So I just want to welcome you, Dr. Furman. Our interview today, we're talking about the end of diabetes. How can we say something like that when most people think diabetes is for life?
Yeah, isn't that sad that people don't know that that type 2 diabetes is a reversible condition? It's just like being overweight is a reversible condition. Most people do stay overweight for life, but you don't have to. And the problem, of course, is that modern foods people are eating didn't exist in human history. They didn't exist in, you know, thousands of years ago. They're designed by humans to get people hooked and to addicted to overeating behaviors. And of course, now we have, believe it or not, 50% of the U.S. population is either diabetic or pre-diabetic.
Wow.
Recent studies from the CDC, it's just utterly amazing. And I'm saying that it's actually worse than that, because then it even, because almost all overweight people are pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because extra body fat makes you insulin resistant. And that means insulin doesn't work as well. And the beta cells have to produce more insulin. The beta cells in the pancreas produce insulin.
Right.
And when you're eating healthfully, a diet with a relatively favorable glycemic load, you're not eating sugars and maple syrup and honey and white flour and bagels and pizza and, you know, all the
right
cookies and all the garbage people eat, your glycemic load puts less stress on the beta cells in the pancreas. So the body produces a certain amount of insulin it needs to operate and live its life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eat those foods that stress out and make the beta cells produce more insulin. And then you put fat on the body in addition to that. And fat cells make it harder for insulin to work because they mm-hmm. distort the shape of the insulin receptor and they block receptor function. And saturated fat from animal products in particular has an increased ability to distort the shape of the insulin receptor and make it not function well. So then you have higher levels of insulin being necessary to keep the sugar at a normal level. And I'm saying when you're overweight and eating improperly, mm-hmm. even if you're not even pre-diabetic yet, even if the sugars haven't climbed out of the normal range yet, you're still in a pre-diabetic stage, because your beta cells in the pancreas are overworked and you're going to eventually become into the pre-diabetic phase down the road, and you still have the damaging effects of excess insulin. Because excess insulin promotes angiogenesis, promotes fat storage, increases appetite, promotes atherosclerosis, accelerates the aging process. Excess insulin is damaging in itself even before the sugars start to rise. So eventually you're producing maybe 5 times as much insulin as a normal person would need.
Yeah.
And your glucoses look well controlled, but of course, eventually the body's ability to produce so much excess insulin starts to poop out a little bit. and you can only produce twice as much as a person would need of normal weight, but that twice as much level of production isn't enough, and your sugars start to rise, and you become diagnosed with pre-diabetes and then diabetes, and you're still producing more insulin than you a normal person would need if you ate healthy and you were slim. So what I'm saying is that type 2 diabetics are not insulin deficient. They have years of insulin excess, and they're relatively insulin deficient because they may need more insulin to control their sugars because they're so overweight, but they actually need the beta cells to produce less insulin and make the body more insulin responsive. And that's what superior nutrition does. It makes you insulin responsive. And it doesn't just address the diabetic problem. Superior nutrition melts away atherosclerosis, makes your blood vessels more elastic, reduces free radicals and accumulation of AGEs, which are advanced glycation end products, which makes you demented and depressed. Right. And, you know, when we're talking about a diabetic who's at higher risk of diabetic retinopathy, it's the high levels of free of reactive oxygen species and AGEs, advanced glycation end products, that's causing the damage in their to their retina. You know, so we're talking about a host of different comorbidities that accompany the high glucose that we're addressing with diet. Drugs don't do this.
Right.
And drugs make the person want to eat more and gain more weight and make it more. And they're just, it's really, we've gone the wrong direction.
Oh, I so hear you. And I love that really nice nutshell explanation of how many times if we have excess fat in our diets or on our bodies, we are overworking our pancreas, which will eventually wear out. And that's where we really see the symptoms, but the damage has been happening for years.
That's
so
right.
This sounds like something that all of us really need to pay attention to if we want to prevent and or heal from chronic illnesses like diabetes and heart disease. And so I'm so glad you're here to share with us. What is your main approach to dealing with this? How is it that we see the science showing us that our lifestyle choices, which we have complete power over, can help us in the right direction?
You know, I'm always passionate and thrilled with the science because what I've done is, let me just give you an example.
Okay.
Identifying the foods that most effectively prevent cancer, like, and slow the aging process. And have been shown in studies that when you follow people with cancer, like take breast people with breast cancer, follow them for 10 years, if they eat more green vegetables, they eat more flax seeds, they eat onions, whatever it is, whatever the food we're talking about, they reduce their risk of having breast cancer related death. And what I'm saying here is that these same foods that extend human longevity, that protect against cancer, are the foods that are most effective to prevent and reverse diabetes at the same time and reverse heart disease. So it's not a certain diet we're going to give people to reverse heart disease, lower their blood pressure, and prevent dementia. And now we're going to give them a different diet to reverse diabetes.
Right.
No, it's all one and the same thing, because the most powerful, because we're talking about what's the most powerful food for gene silencing. To silence abnormal genes that, like the BRCA1 gene or GSTP gene that leads to increased risk of breast cancer, those abnormal genes, as many other abnormal gene defects, are silenced with a high intake of green vegetables, particularly when you eat green cruciferous vegetables regularly.
And what are those cruciferous vegetables? Everybody remember? We're talking about things like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale, all of those, right?
Right. And we really want to try to achieve a mixture of both raw and cooked, because there's an enzyme in the vegetable in the cell wall called myrosinase that's heat sensitive. And when you're chewing raw kale or raw watercress or arugula or raw in your mouth, the myrosinase enzyme is forming ITCs with every cell you break open. It's forming more ITCs. And the better you chew, the more ITCs that are being formed. When you
That's
cook
a simple
it first,
thing to do. Just chew, right?
Chew it super
thoroughly.
Well.
Yes.
And that's my mantra, is this: make the salad the main dish at least one meal a day. One of the structures of my plan and why it's so effective is to eat a large lunch where your lunch is a large salad, not a soup bowl size, but a whole 9-inch salad bowl size salad. Okay. And you have lettuce in there because lettuce has incredible benefits at thickening and protecting the microbiome and giving you a good biofilm. And then we're putting cruciferous vegetables like arugula or bok choy or kale on top of the lettuce and mixing it with tomatoes and onions and shallots and scallions, a green onion, a red onion. And then you have a dressing that's made, not made with oil, but a dressing with some nuts and seeds or other flavorings, right. Maybe roasted tomatoes or garlic. You have a healthy dressing. And then you have a bowl of vegetable bean soup and a piece and one piece of fruit for dessert. And you make that lunch the centerpiece of your meal, because what I'm saying here, I'm saying two things. One is that raw vegetables have the most powerful and significant association with the reduction of cancers of all type. And eating sufficient raw vegetables each day has a longevity promoting and anti-diabetic effect. And then at the same time, we're consuming these raw foods and these cooked foods with a combination of anti-diabetic effects and effects to thicken the microbiome to create this adherent biofilm. And the thickened and adherent biofilm slows the absorption of glucose into the bloodstream from any food you eat. So when you had a mango with breakfast, or when you had some berries or a piece of spaghetti squash, the carbohydrate absorption is slowed from in the next meal because you had these foods that thicken the, that maintain the healthy biofilm in the prior meals. Scientists call that the second meal effect. The second meal effect is you eat these four foods that maximally develops a healthy microbiome. And then the next meal, the glycemic load of that meal is reduced because of the protection from the other foods you ate at prior meals. And the four foods include these two raw foods we're talking about, which are raw green vegetables and raw onion or scallion, that have a very powerful effect on the favorable development of favorable bacteria in the gut. And the two cooked foods are cooked beans, well-cooked beans, and cooked mushrooms.
Oh, mushrooms.
When you put these four foods together, because scientists recognize beans as the most favorable carbohydrate with the slowest, with the most slowly digestible starches and most resistant starches in the beans. So beans have the lowest glycemic load, but because they have so much resistant starch in them and fiber, they fuel the development of beneficial bacteria. And of course, so what I'm saying is not only are beans themselves low glycemic, but they make other foods you eat now in your diet lower glycemic because you regularly consume beans. Not even at this doesn't even have to be at the same meal.
Wow, that sounds like beans are really, really important for diabetics. Beans and greens and mushrooms and onions. Awesome. Well, that is definitely a great takeaway that we could apply right away, because this thing about slowing the absorption of blood of sugar into the blood is so important for lowering our A1C levels and healing our bodies. Oh, I love that. That's a great secret right there. That's made our whole interview worth it. But I know you've got more to share with us.
I could talk all day long on this stuff.
Yeah. So we want to hear some more. So tell us some more things that you have learned in your research and experience working actually clinically with people in reversing their diabetes and other chronic illnesses.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. Because, you know, because as you just said, with diabetes and other comorbidities, because a person doesn't usually just have high blood sugar. They have other problems that go along with the high blood sugar and excess body weight and poor diet, which is their blood pressure rises, their cholesterol gets higher, they have atherosclerosis, their kidney starts to go bad. And, you know, I've had, you know, so my also enthusiasm was seeing people with early stage kidney damage get well, you know, from with so like, for example, I had a man come in, you know, last year who was a actually is a mayor of an East Coast city. And he was a young man, but his he came in with a very dangerously high blood pressure and out of control diabetes. His blood pressure was so high that they couldn't even get it normalized in the hospital. He was hospitalized for it. And when he got here, his blood pressure was about 220 over 140 or 220 over 130 or something so dangerous. I almost thought he shouldn't have left the hospital. But within a few days, we had his blood, with a combination of medications and the diet, his blood pressure was well controlled. And within 3 or 4 weeks, he didn't need any blood pressure medication at all. And his blood pressure was excellent. Within 3 to 4 weeks, he was off all blood pressure medication. His diabetes was completely out of control. And that became totally in control. So he was non-diabetic within the first month. So now he's a person who comes in with blood sugars of like, you know, high 200s, blood pressure out of control, kidney damage with a creatinine of 2.4 with a bad kidney, which means that, you know, probably permanent damage to his kidney. And so in any case, his diabetes went away, his high blood pressure went away. Now the hope is, can we restore this person back to, you know, good kidney function again? And of course, his kidney function did not improve those first 2 months he was here. His level was still running that way. But follow up on him, you know, 3-4 months later, following the diet, continuing what he learned here, and his kidney, his 2.4 kidney function dropped now up to 1.5. You know what I mean? It dropped
down. Wow, that's an amazing improvement. And so many people are being told that once they have kidney damage, it's kind of like a death knell. It's not getting better. It's only going to get worse. And it's so amazing how God has designed our bodies to heal with a single lifestyle. Like, it doesn't really matter if we're talking about diabetes or other chronic illnesses. The same nutritional interventions benefit all of those conditions. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and it benefits, you know, and what people don't realize is they don't just have one disease. Yeah. They have other diseases percolating that are going to eventually express themselves. You don't, you know, a diabetic's increased risk of developing depression. They're at increased risk of developing dementia in later life. Now's the time. Today is the day that every day counts, every meal count, every mouthful counts to reverse the disease process, so you don't develop a medical tragedy where life isn't worth living. You know, and these foods, you and your taste buds adapt, and you learn to eat delicious to really feel that you like this way of eating. You actually love it. And then you have the intellectual and emotional contentment of watching your body drop weight, reverse diabetes, lower blood pressure, knowing you do the right thing. And it also tastes good when you learn the recipes. Yeah. So now you are physically getting better, and you're emotionally getting better, intellectually getting better too. You're enjoying your life more. You're more proud of yourself. You can be more accomplished and be more creative and do better at your work, better with your family. You know, what I'm saying here is something that I think people don't consider. And let me just extrapolate that to where I'm going here. That the more you're an addict, whether it's cigarette smoking, shooting up with cocaine, drinking 10 cups of coffee a day, or being overweight, eating unhealthy foods, the more you're an addict, the more you're narcissistically consumed with your own, with meeting your own addictive drives and dope, and you're less giving, caring, compassionate, and you're not to have the full degree of humanness you could have had to be the best parent, the best community member, the best, you know, you're not the full you, and you're not as compassion giving as you would have been, because your life is revolved around your narrow addictive needs. Right. And when you're overweight, you're a food addict. Overweight people are food addicts. And underweight people are food addicts too, of course. You know, a lot of overweight, underweight people or normal weight people are normal weight because they're alcoholics, so they're smoking cigarettes. That's why they're normal weight. Because if they were not smoking and drinking so much, they'd be a food addict. If they were not sickly, they'd become overweight, because American food makes almost everybody overweight.
So true. It,
you know,
so
true. 89% of Americans have a BMI above 23. And the center, you know, the health authorities tell us that that 75%, you know, actually about 70% of people are overweight, but it's not true, because they're using a demarcation line of a BMI of 25 is the demarcation line between normal weight and overweight. And of course, when we use a more realistic BMI of 23, which is all long-lived people, all centenarians, longest, the healthiest people, all have BMIs below 23. And if we use that, then we get about 90% of people in America are overweight. And the 10% that are normal weight, a lot of them are unhealthy and smokers.
Yeah.
It's only 2.4% of the Americans, 2.4% that are a BMI below 23 because they've eaten healthfully and exercise regularly. It's a very small percent of healthy people. And even those aren't eating a nutritarian diet or a whole plant-based diet, or they're not eating so healthily, but they're eating healthy enough by conventional standards. Yeah. It's still only about 2.5% of Americans. You know, and
wow, that's a sad statistic. And, you know, I think we see it reflected in the epidemic growth of not only chronic illnesses, but reduced immunity in these days of pandemic and widespread infections. These things are all contributing to people's inability to fight prevalent infections. And,
absolutely.
You know, that is something that is of concern to all of us, whether we're diabetic or not. So what we're talking about today is really something that our whole family can benefit from, not just the one that might be identified as ill or having diabetes, but all of us can benefit from this approach. And I love what you're saying about how it affects the rest of our body, our mental health, our relationships, our ability to truly be the people we want to be to those we care about.
Absolutely. And you know that, you know, just think about the fact that what you just said, that, you know, people know they're fearful of COVID-related hospitalization and death. Mm-hmm. And instead of changing their diet to get healthier and lower their risk factors and comorbidities, instead of that, they're eating, they're more addicted when they've gained weight, and we've got more diabetics and pre-diabetics than ever before. Yeah. It's, you would think that with death facing you right in your near future, you would change your diet and drop weight, but no, it shows you how addictive the American style of eating is and how it's taken control of people's brains. Yeah. So people can't even think logically and behave logically anymore. And I'm saying
such
that
such a root issue. Yes.
Yes. It's, we have to, that when you're an alcoholic or a cocaine addict, it's hard to cut back. It's hard to cut back on alcohol because every time you take a drink, it makes you desire it more. It's hard to cut back on cocaine because you're going to keep keeping going through withdrawal, which is uncomfortable. What I'm saying right now, it's hard to people to take baby steps in the right direction and start to make moderate improvements in their diet because they go off the wagon, they binge, they gain the weight, but they don't see success.
Yeah.
They don't see any benefit to dietary change. They struggle, they try, and they go on and off diets, they lose and gain weight. And people need to have a whole different paradigm here. They have to accept the fact that unhealthy food is addicting.
Yes.
And that oil and sugar and white flour is a sugar equivalent.
Yeah.
And it's not a food, it's a drug. It behaves in the body like a drug. And it drives overeating behavior. It strips the body of nutrients. It drives free radical production without supplying you antioxidants to curtail the production of free radicals. It creates a pathology physically and mentally and makes you inability to rationalize. It makes you even an inability to think as logically as you can and do and behave in your own best interest. People don't behave in their own best interest. They're self-destructive.
Yes.
You only can stop this self-destruction with a period of complete abstinence. So the body's thinking process and ability to make judgments can come back into a safe place. And there has to be sustained or enforced abstinence from addictive substances. And my experience of the last 3 decades is that I see heightened success in people that choose to jump in fully at the beginning, getting as much information as possible and make what's seen as a radical change and want to see progress every single month and really make a good boundary between their old addictive way of eating and all those foods that were self-destructive. Because we don't see as good a success, generally speaking, in people that still are imbibing and still want a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It makes them never develop the taste muscle to prefer this way of eating. It makes people never feeling they're comfortable with less calories because they're always wanting those foods, make them want to eat more, their appetite stimulants make them want to overeat. And there's too much going on. And it's so much simpler for the person to say, look, I realize it's going to be tough the first few weeks of the first month. You're going to like your old diet better, but do it anyway, because eventually you're going to like this way of eating just as much. And you're going to see incredibly miraculous results.
You know, that is such a key. It reminds me of what Dr. Will Bollmeister has said in his book, Willpower. And he talks about bright lines and the idea that when we make very clear boundaries, like a bright line, I'm going to plant-based eating would be a bright line sort of decision, that people are more successful in carrying through and sustaining that decision. And so I think that's a really key point that you're bringing out here, that many people will see more success by making a strong decision and making that switch quickly rather than trying to wean themselves off junk food, as it were. For all addictive behaviors, I think the science shows that cold turkey is long-term more successful than the weaning process.
Yes.
So, and that's most I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's why I appreciate the work you're doing. Because most dietitians, they make baby steps with people and they don't get effective results. And then people think they're going to be diabetic forever. They're just trying to control things. Yeah. Instead of, you get so much more better effect when people make a decision to do this fully with both feet in. And also, you know, we're talking here about biological events that when you have a certain degree of body fat, your body fat is spewing out free radicals, activating aromatase, raising estrogen levels that increase risk of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And also promoting more lipokines and cytokines and pro-inflammatory substances that can increase the COVID-related death. Yeah. Now, when you make the complete dietary change and you're dropping weight by at least 2 pounds a week, within 1 month, you know, we're saying we're losing about 15 pounds the first month, 10 pounds the second month, 8 pounds, you're usually about 2 pounds a week or more. What I'm saying right now, even the person that's still overweight, if they're dropping weight at 2 pounds a week, their measurable inflammation goes down, their insulin resistance goes down, their aromatase production, the excess estrogen drops, the production of lipokines and cytokines drops, their immune system functions better, even while they're still overweight, even if they're losing weight steadily. The minute they stop losing and start to gain again, the negative effects start to come back again. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying right now is we know from studies on people with gastric bypass too and Lap-Band placement, that as long as they're dropping weight steadily, we start to see improved diabetic parameters even go away while they're still overweight. Mm. I see that in my retreat here and when I'm caring for patients, we see that they start to get better, even if they're still overweight, as long as they stay in the program, they continue to lose weight in the right direction. And they don't just wait till they've lost all the 80 pounds they have to lose until they see the benefits. They start to see the benefits earlier on as long as they keep going in the right direction.
So encouraging.
Which is encouraging because the risk of heart attack goes down by 1,000 times just within the first 2 weeks of eating this way. 1,000
amazing.
And heart attack death rate going just for 2 weeks. And they're still overweight. They're not so healthy yet, but you diffuse the time bomb, you know, and we know most heart attacks and strokes occur. We call it holiday heart or after parties, when people go away on vacations, when they go on cruise ships and eat at buffets, we go to Vegas and pick out a vacation. That when you gain weight rapidly with overeating, you're immediately putting yourself back at risk again because you put back juvenile and vulnerable plaque, which is essentially a form of visceral fat that becomes very dangerous to promote a cardiac event. So I'm saying right now is you can lower your risk or enhance your risk in short term, but it takes long-term adherence to maintain optimal health, because the minute you go back and you start to go back the other way, you put yourself back at risk again. So the key, I'm saying, a nutritarian is somebody who's eating healthfully at an ideal weight or eating healthfully and moving towards that ideal weight in a steady and consistent fashion.
Oh, I like that definition, but can you tell us more about what a nutritarian would be eating? Well, told us a little bit about lunch and breakfast, but a little bit broader kind of description of what would it take to become one?
Yes, the word nutritarian means you're eating foods that are nutrient rich and have beneficial lifespan and health protective effects, and they're natural foods. And we're devising our diet on the healthiest food, and I have on the healthiest foods that have the most proven scientific documentation to extend human lifespan and prevent cancer. And I have an acronym called GBOMS. GBOMBS. And I mentioned some of these foods already, the foods with the most protective long-term effects on longevity, which also have anti-diabetic effects. And by the way, berries have anti-diabetic effects, blackberries, wild blueberries, you know, strawberries. So we're not saying take all the fruit out of a diet or the GBOMS stands for greens, beans, well, legumes, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds like flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds, with tremendous beneficial effects, lowering blood pressure, anti-cancer effects, longevity promoting effects. And also, so a nutritarian diet might, you know, we mentioned that having that big salad for lunch, vegetable bean soup, fruit for dessert, maybe dinner, you might have some raw vegetables with a dip, because we're trying to start the two main meals with raw vegetables because of the bulk and the fiber, with maybe a healthy salsa dip or a hummus dip or a pepper or eggplant hummus or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then we have a maybe a mixed vegetable wok with lots of green vegetables in it, broccoli florets, cabbage, onions, mushrooms, water chestnuts, bamboo shoots, maybe with a Thai curry sauce on top.
Yum.
maybe on top, you know, so we have all types of things. And we might even have a dessert. You know, maybe I took at the beginning of the meal, when I was serving the main meal, I took out of the freezer some frozen berries or frozen cherries or frozen jackfruit or frozen, and I let that frozen fruit sit there while I'm eating the meal. And the time 20 minutes goes by, it has like a little bit of coldness and like an ice cream left to it, but it's softened enough to taste really good. So usually, so I usually, and we make a lot of, frozen fruit dessert just because it's so convenient for people. Yes. And I'm an advocate of frozen food, by the way. I think frozen food enables people to get access to, you know, artichoke hearts and fresh and peas and strawberries and berries that are too expensive to get fresh. And when you get them fresh, organic, without the fungicide on them, they go bad after it costs $5 a little box or $6 a box, and they go get moldy. If you don't eat them that same day you bought them, they're gone anyway. And so frozen enables you to aliquot out what you're going to eat, put the rest back in the freezer, have it not go bad. It's not going to be sprayed with fungicides because it stays frozen to prevent the fungus formation on it. And and they're superfoods, and there's no reason why people shouldn't eat frozen broccoli and frozen foods. But in any case,
great tip.
Yeah. Your diet can taste phenomenal. You know, you can make all these fantastic recipes, and I'm very proud of the fact that I have over 2,000 recipes on my website, and I have all these books with recipes that are really phenomenal because we've had, I've developed most of them myself maybe, but I've had assistance with world-class chefs. Like Martin Oswald from the famous chef from Aspen, Colorado. And I've had, and also a lot of just people following the Nutritarian diet. Sure. Thousands of people have submitted recipes and people rated them with stars, you know. So we have a collection of such incredible, delicious recipes to make all kinds of dishes, even holiday dishes and things that you could be proud to serve anybody. And so it's not about giving up pleasure in eating. It's about gaining back pleasure in eating with pleasure of life. Maintaining a youthful vitality and excitement and passion for living that you can enjoy your life now.
I love that. It's such a positive way of looking at this because we don't want to look at these improvements as being some sort of deprivation. It's actually an enhancement of our quality of life as we're talking about it here. And that is so, so encouraging. For all of our listeners, I also want to share with you that Dr. Furman's website is a wonderful resource for you. He's got a free gift for you actually on the link that you'll see connected with this video, where he's got a free class that you can attend, and he talks about things that we don't have time to discuss here. And his website is cram-packed full of other great resources as you think about how can I best improve my health, reverse my diabetes. So I want to thank you, Dr. Furman, for providing that resource specifically for our listeners today. But I would like to ask you before we close, what would you say are maybe the top one or two recommendations you would give someone that says, yes, I want to improve what's going on in my life today, and I want to see the changes that we've talked about in our interview today?
Well, you know, my experience over the years has been that people, when they have the right information and they really understand it, they're more likely to succeed. Mm-hmm. So even though I'm great that we've stimulate them and great for the work you're doing, but I still recommend that people, you know, even though I have these menus, like I have the T20 diabetic book with like 21 days of diabetic favorable menus, people can just get and follow it and reverse their diabetes. I still say to them, don't just follow my recommendations and follow my diet plan. Read the books that have the science to understand the sun, highlight and underline them. You become like the scientific expert in diabetic and in a favorable diet and how nutrients and nutrition is so important for you. And you'll see that it'll increase your motivation and your knowledge. It'll make your life happier and make you more able to be compliant with this way of eating long-term. So I do recommend they pick up, you know, my book, Eat for Life, which you mentioned at the beginning, because it's one of my most recent heavily referenced books. And the science gives people additional motivation to know it's not just reversing diabetes. It's protecting the brain against dementia. It's protecting against autoimmune diseases. Yes. It's protecting against cancer. It's making you really feel good about yourself and keeping your joints working and your ability to function and think well as you age. And the second thing is to be cautious about medical care. So I wouldn't want to leave without addressing that issue because doctors don't know how effectively and quickly your blood pressure and your diabetes can be reversed when you adopt a diet that's ideally designed for this purpose. And what happens is that your blood pressure drops rapidly. And we have so many cases we could talk about, but we could just imagine. But your diabetes goes away relatively rapidly. And the problem is that most conventional physicians will leave you on the medications and not appropriately cut them down quickly enough and potentially put you at danger from having too low a blood pressure or too low a blood glucose and a hypoglycemic event or even a hypotensive event and cause you to fall down and faint or smack your head on the pavement or hurt your kidney. That it's critically important that you have the knowledge. Now, don't just trust your doctor who doesn't have this expertise. A lot of us lifestyle medicine physicians are working with deep prescribing. We know how to deep prescribe and get people off medication, watch them carefully to make sure they don't become over-medicated. And I'm just giving people this warning that too much medication can really damage people. So as you change your diet and don't need medication, you have to watch that you're coming off that quickly enough and at the right rate and accordingly to your measurements of your blood pressure and your blood sugar. So be careful with that and don't take chances.
Oh, that is so, so important because that's a safety issue connected with making these lifestyle changes that we all need to be aware of. And I know you had mentioned that, for example, when people are diabetic, as soon as you see a certain number, you tell them to stop their diabetes medications. Do you want to share kind of where that boundary is for you?
Yes. When they begin the program, I usually try to cut their medications down immediately as they start. So if they're on, like, it depends on where I think they're at. Sure. They may be like, say, cutting their insulin in half or reducing. But if they're on the sulfonylureas, like glipizide,
that's like the pills for the blood sugar control.
Those particular medications are dangerous. They push the failing beta cells to overwork. So I leave them on the metformin and the GLP-1 inhibitors or whatever. But I take them off those sulfonylurea drugs, which are too dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then we're decreasing their medication, cutting it back every time they get one reading below 120. Okay. Even it could be an afternoon reading or a morning reading. If it got 115, it's time to cut back. Let's say for let your sugars run a little high. Let them run between 110 and 140 if you have to, or 150. Don't get your blood sugars. Don't try to finally control your blood sugar when you're doing this program. So the minute you get one reading below 120, start to cut back a little more. By the way, in taking these medications make you harder to lose weight anyway. Getting off the insulin makes you lose weight and become non-diabetic. These drugs promote the advancement of diabetes by making you gain weight and pushing the beta cells to overwork themselves, some of these drugs. So in other words, we cut back on drugs. We don't stop all the medications. Mm-hmm. We start to reduce the medication. Then the next day they get another reading below 120, reduce it a little more. Yeah. Next day they get another reading below 120, reduce it a little more. So we're gradually reducing the medications by a step-by-step fast fashion every time they get a reading below 120. You follow me?
Yes, that makes so much sense. And I think especially with sugar, that is so important. Both blood pressure and sugar. It's like if you're on blood pressure medications, you need to be checking your blood pressure every day on this program so that you're seeing what's going on and you can get those modifications adjusted by your physician appropriately so you're not at risk for falling when you stand up quickly or get dizzy, those sorts of things. So thank you very much for sharing that with us as well, Dr. Furman. So what do y'all think? Isn't this wonderful? This is such good information. I think you could just apply the things that we've heard today and you would start to see amazing results in your life. But the summit is not over. We have more presentations. And don't forget that it's not too late to sign up for the VIP upgrade, which will allow you to listen to this presentation as well as all the others over and over and just really get all of the juice out of them and be able to review them at your leisure even after the summit is over. So we just are so thankful that you're here today. We've been very blessed with what you've shared with us, Dr. Furman. Thank you for being here. And if you have anything you'd like to say as a closing remark, this would be a great time.
Yeah, my closing remark is don't control your diabetes, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. And the other closing remark is that this program is dramatically effective for type 1 diabetics, not just type 2, mm-hmm. because type 1s aren't going to get rid of all their insulin needs, but they'll cut their needs back by 75. They'll need only one quarter the amount of insulin they were using before, and it can save their life and give them a normal lifespan without the comorbidities. So it's critically important for all type of diabetics. So because people say, oh, they're only talking about type 2s, but what about the type 1? Or they're saying, well, what about me? It doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does apply to you, whether you're a type 1 or a type 2. And wait, if you don't have diabetes, nutritional excellence is really the secret to a happy and healthy life. Yes. It's wherever you are, wherever you are in your health, you know, nutritional excellence is so important. It should be reading, writing, arithmetic, and nutritional science taught in grade schools, because it's the most critical factors that affect our health and life and our happiness.
So good. Thank you again. And all of you, remember that health is wealth. And with every healthy choice, you are getting richer. Thank you for joining us today.